On the ballot next month in Seattle is a proposal intended to reduce traffic congestion in the area. The monorail became a symbol of Seattle when the first elevated tracks rose above the city for the 1962 World's Fair. The theme was Century 21, and the sleek steel train seemed futuristic. Now, in the 21st century, voters are being asked to support spending $1.7 billion to expand the monorail system. NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports.
The monorail still whisks passengers from a downtown shopping plaza through a rock and roll museum and into the Seattle center with theaters, museums, and sports venues. The 1.3-mile trip takes about 2 minutes.
As we enter the station, please stand clear of the automatic doors until they are completely and safely open.
Back in the early 1960s, city planners dreamed of extending the monorail, but it never happened. Now it just might, largely because of one man, a loquacious Seattle cabbie named Dick Falkenberry. He's been pushing the idea, sometimes single-handedly, for the past few years.
The average time it takes from the time an idea is invented till the time it is widely embraced for transportation is 40 years. The automobile was invented in 1865, but not until Henry Ford came along in 1910 did people understand what a great vehicle this thing was or could be. If you think that the monorail was invented in about 1962, we're right on track.
The proposal would put 14 miles of track 40 feet in the air. While critics disparagingly call it a train from nowhere to nowhere, Falkenberry sees it as connecting people and neighborhoods. Some project supporters view Falkenberry as a citizen hero, someone who is trying to do something to address the city's transportation woes. Indeed, total strangers like Helen Dickens sometimes come up to him on the street just to say thank you.
He didn't give up when so many people were saying, oh, it's ridiculous and it'll never work and people won't support it. I'm just so thrilled.
Others call the idea loony. Henry Aronson, an attorney and former port commissioner, seems to be the designated foe of a project that many public officials don't like but won't publicly criticize because of its grassroots.
It's the largest mistake put before the voters in the history of this city. It's the largest infrastructure project in the history of the city. It's the largest tax increase in the history of this city. And it deals with not one of the many, many, many traffic problems we have.
Even Falkenberry admits it would do nothing for the region's worst traffic choke points. By his own numbers, the vast majority of people who would ride the monorail already take the bus. Critics note that the proposed monorail routes don't mesh with the region's planned light rail system. Finally, there's a matter of money. A new car tax would be imposed. For someone with a car worth $15,000, the additional tax would be about $200 a year, possibly for decades. Opponents worry that if the monorail passes, it will be extremely difficult to get voters to pay for any future public works projects. Ron Sims, the area's county executive, says the project makes no sense. Still, he understands its appeal, driven by both romance and frustration.
We want to grasp for something and say we finally did something to help solve our problem.
And given that, it's hard to predict the outcome of this vote in November. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News, Seattle.